Hey guys, how's it going? Thank you so much for joining us on our very first episode of the Afropolitan Central podcast. My name is Nana and I'm here with my co-host Omolayo.
Hey everyone.
So as you can tell, we're obviously super, super excited to get this off the ground. And we want to use this first episode as a just a get to know me chat almost, to help us just, you know, introduce ourselves, tell you a bit more about our backgrounds, our reasons for starting this podcast, etc. Omolayo, thoughts?
Yeah, and just basically what you all can expect. So we're super excited to start on this journey, but we know it's definitely going to be a community thing. So we know it's important to just get this intro podcast out there so you guys know exactly what to expect from us the next few episodes.
Yeah. Okay, so without much ado, we're going to get into it. So as I said, my name is Nana. If you know anything about Ghana, you know that it's one of the most common names ever. And the funny thing is that my last name is also extremely common, so it's just like, it's pretty much like Jane Doe, but not quite. So from Ghana.
I don't know anyone named Jane or Doe.
Oh, Doe. So grew up in Ghana, moved to the US when I was 18 to attend college, which is where I met Omolayo. We both went to Elon University and we met each other in our French class. Omolayo was a year underneath me, like a year below, not underneath, that's weird. A year below. So she introduced herself saying she was from Nigeria. I was like, oh my gosh, my sister. So I went to go talk to her afterwards. And the rest is history.
Exactly. All right, so let me do my intro a little bit. So I was born in Nigeria. I lived there till I was about 7, and then I moved to the U.S. and then spent the rest of my formative years there. And then, you know, went to Elon University, like Nana said, and so that's where we met. And so actually while we were there, the two of us, like, looked around and we were like, I'm sure there's other Africans on this campus. And actually for me, I grew up in a predominantly white town, and then going to Elon, it was the same, you know, predominantly white student body. And so coming together with Nana and meeting her that first day in French class, we were like, we need to come together and bring and just, you know, create a community for the Africans and African enthusiasts around campus to have discussions and, you know, present our culture to the world.
But, you know, like I mentioned, for me, I moved, you know, from Ghana to the US, and it was actually my first time in the US, you know, like I'd been to London to visit my mom, but that was it. Like, and so culture shock was real, but I think, and I think, Amaya, I think I spoke to you, about this a lot, was just, you know, I came from my country where I, obviously, like, I knew that, you know, we were a developing country, you know. I hadn't even really necessarily heard the phrase third world country that much, if any. So it was interesting, like, having that connotation where you can almost see, like, that kind of flash in people's minds when you tell them you're from Ghana. That's if they knew where Ghana was.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't know if I told you, like, one time in class, this guy, I told him I was from Ghana. He was like, oh, isn't that, like, right near the equator and all this stuff? I was like, I'm not completely sure. And then he, like, went on a rant, like, scolded me for not knowing that he was talking about Uganda. I was like, I didn't say Uganda. I said Ghana.
Like, that's so funny.
Like, like, that's the kind of thing that would happen to us in school. And so,
exactly.
It was like, because like we said, our school just was not the most diverse place. And so for me, one, that took me by surprise in terms of just people having, like, just all kinds of gaps in knowledge and just a lot of pre-held stereotypes. Like, I had people ask me about, oh, so do you have cities where you're from and all these things? And I was just like, what are these people on about?
And so that's, you know, why we started the Elon African Society. And it was so much fun because, like, at least once a semester, we'd get together and have a cooking class, you know, where we would just jam Afro beats. Like I said, I was not hip on them. So it was cool to hear them and, like, get hip on the music and everything. And then also we would have fashion shows. We also had a lot of, like, discussions. And so I remember, this wasn't early on, but it's like a few years after we had started the program, we had this political science professor come talk to us about to African countries.
Yeah.
Right? He also talked to us about, like, Boko Haram and kind of, like, the climate that allowed them to spring up. And so just being able to have those conversations, because, like, yeah, it's cool to have, you know, African society that's all about rah, 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 celebration, the diversity, you know, the cooking classes, the fashion shows. But you also have to have those difficult discussions that, you know, we know is the dominant narrative in mainstream media. But that doesn't mean that it's those narratives don't exist. We just want to highlight the fact that it's not the only narrative. Yeah. But it's also important to have those conversations about, like, how do we build up the various African countries and continue to make sure that they're thriving and we get to see the countries that, you know, we have in our heads and that we know.
Of course. In regards to your second point on Malaya, like, that is something that I constantly struggle with because I feel like, you know, I'm always on the defensive. Oh, I'm always on the defense. I don't know which one. Is it defensive or defense?
I think both work.
Both work? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm not making any grammatical errors. Because a lot of people, like, I feel like a lot of times you're almost fatigued because you're constantly ready to defend because you always know there's always some kind of BS just waiting in the wings, waiting to pop off. And so because of that, one, and two, because of the fact that a lot of times when stories about, you know, Africa, quote unquote, are being told, they tend to be these kind of single stories of war and poverty and blah, blah, blah. It creates this, like, first line of attack almost where you're just like, uh-uh, like, that's not it. This is my narrative. This is my experience. Yeah. This is where I'm coming from. But it's also, like, at the end of the day, though, it's not like those things don't exist at all, right? They don't. But I think that that also happens when you don't get multiple representation. So you don't get, like, multiple chances almost to be complex and show nuance and say, oh, I'm this, but I'm that. It's like you only have one shot because...
present the counter narrative, and that's the only one you got. And so then it kind of gets you to this place where you feel like you're presenting the counter narrative as if it's not, as if it's the only narrative, but you know it's not. It's just, in order to make your point, you have to be like, no, that's not how Africa is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much more diversity to it. There's that. And so, you know, of course, you're talking about the mansions you see and the big escalades that people are driving around. But you also know that, like, those poverty-stricken areas do exist, but because you're trying to combat that narrative as the only narrative, you're pushing the counter-narrative as if it's the only narrative. It gets very exhausting.
It's very like cash 22, but I think that that's also just what happens when people just aren't willing to be exposed enough, and so
you only have like a minute to like give them the counter narrative. It's not that they're trying to like sit down and have a whole conversation with you about, you know, the differences and the nuances and this and that. They just want the punchy, like, this is the counter narrative.
But yeah, I think that's also the burden that comes with, you know, always feeling like you're the spokesperson and the representative. And so you have to do your country, have to do your people justice in whatever slot you're presented in.
And I know for me, I felt that a lot growing up because, yes, while I didn't grow up around other Africans, I was very proud of my culture. Like, my parents raised us in a very Nigerian household. And even when my friends came over, they knew to, like, go find my parents and greet them immediately. Yeah. And, you know, not leave our house before, like, greeting my parents. You know, the few friends I was allowed to have over. They knew those rules. And also, like, any chance I got, I, you know, whether it was, like, to church or, you know, different events, I would try and wear, you know, Ankara dresses and things like that to just, because I was really proud of my Nigerian culture. And, I mean, for a predominantly white town, I was in a very tolerant white town, and I did have some people who were curious. They asked ignorant questions, but they were curious and coming from a place of, like, oh, I actually want to know. So I did get a lot of chances to be like, well, actually, this is how it is, you know, and people would ask, you know, did we live in trees? That was one question I got a lot in elementary school. Like, oh, like, is it different for you living in a house now? And I'm like, I lived in a house before. Like, I don't know the question. And so definitely I felt like I grew up a lot of my life being like, actually, we have this, this, and that in Nigeria.
So I think that the desire to start this podcast is coming from the same place. You know, obviously we've grown up, it's been a couple of years since college, but we're still just very interested in continuing to have control of our narratives, in the sense that, you know, I'm sure that you guys have heard Chimamanda's The Danger of a Single Story TED Talk, and if you haven't, you obviously should go watch and listen to it. And so I think that, you know, being Ghanaian or with a Malay, being Nigerian, with us, you know, being African, whatever, we always, I think that how our individual countries are portrayed or just how much people know or rather don't know about it, it's just always very fascinating because it's always at a clash in terms with, you know, what, where we're coming from and our own experiences, because you see, you know, somebody say something or you watch something in TV and you're like, oh, which country are they, like, whose Africa are they talking about? That's not mine. And so for us, it's very much about, okay, well, at least for me, I'll say that it's very much about, you know, challenging myself, because like she said, like, you know, every country is completely different from the next. Like in Ghana, for instance, we have over 50 ethnic groups, and, you know, almost 60 dialects. And there's only so much that, you know, I know about, let's say, even other West African countries, much more, you know, all the different African countries. So this is also an opportunity for me to discover more, right? And get a better pulse on things that are happening around me, or things about our history, things about our culture, just all these different things that all these different content that I may not necessarily encounter on an everyday basis, but know is really interesting, it's really rich, it's really diverse, it's really nuanced, and would make for really good content and spark lots of great discussion and lots of great dialogue. So I think that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and I think for me, so, like I said, I grew up, like, you know, in a predominantly white town, and so I did not grow up around many other Africans. Like, I feel like, besides, like, maybe some cousins that lived an hour or two, or family friends, rather, that lived an hour or two from us, Nana was, like, one of my very first African friends.
You know, I absolutely know that.
Yeah. Whoa. So that's one of the reasons I was, like, super not hit. Like, I did not know all the current songs. I did not know anything that other people, like, you know, in the Afropolitan space were, like, yeah, like, you know, in the African diaspora, yeah, were really into. Oh, and so it wasn't until I went to Senegal for a study abroad, you know, that I was really, like, wow, like, you know, people just need to know. Because, like, Senegal was so different, yeah, from Nigeria. And, like, even me that, like, you know, I have it in my head that it's going to be different, like, how different it was just crazy. And I was just like,
what in particular, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what in particular, I mean, I know this, but just for our listeners, like, what took you aback? Right.
It was so long ago now. I just remember feeling like in some ways, Senegal was more similar to the US than it was to Nigeria. And I don't remember exactly, really, what it was about it that made me, I think maybe it was just, like, in the way that people interacted with each other versus how Nigerians interact with each other. Okay. I don't know exactly. I'll have to, like, probably look back at my journals, yeah, or things that I kept during that time, but I just remember that being, like, the overarching feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, so after I spent a semester in Senegal, I went to spend a summer in New York, and so then I had, like, I was spending a lot of time with these Senegalese Americans, and so that was a really interesting experience because that was the first time where I really had a whole group of friends rather than just Nana and Sam, a whole group of friends that were like first generation African immigrants, or, you know, that 1.5 generation. And so being around that, I was just like, wow, there's so much that we have in common,
yeah,
and so many, but then also so many, like, you know, differences that we can really celebrate. And so that just got me really excited about, you know, what else did I miss out on in my formative years? Like, you know, exactly, not having that, kind of like friend circle. And so, yeah, for me, I guess with this podcast, that's kind of part of it, just making sure that other people who might, you know, be out there in the diaspora, yeah, in their own little silos, like, don't miss out on, you know, the hot trends and the conversations that we need to have, exactly, in order to elevate our stories and elevate our narratives, and, you know, just make sure we're staying hip on what's up, and, you know, surrounding, yeah, ourselves with the kind of positive energy to change our communities and celebrate our differences. So that's exactly part of the reason why I'm super excited about this podcast, to kind of give myself that childhood I didn't get to have.
Oh, you're so cute. And for our different listeners that have tuned in, you know, I'm sure that some of you can resonate with Omlayo. Because, I mean, I have cousins in North Carolina, which is where, you know, I moved to when I moved to the U.S. And for them, they were just like, we have no, like, I mean, they could understand, like, Chi, which was, like, the local dialect for my tribe. And, you know, they were exposed to the food, etc., but that's where it ended. And so for them as well, not knowing also meant that there wasn't much pride in who we were and where we came from, because it's like, oh, like all we see are like really backwards things. So what is so exciting about where you're coming from? And I'm like, what? Y'all are not hip. So yeah, so what should we segue into? Omlayo, do you want to take us kind of over the kind of things that kind of topics that we're aiming to cover, and then I can also delve into more of, you know, what our listeners can expect moving forward?
Sure. So for the podcast, we want to really have conversations around not just trending topics, because, you know, this is not E! News, but just the conversations that really matter to us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anything from tourism and, you know, education in our schools, you know, conversations around first generation Africans versus, you know, perhaps people who have been in the African diaspora for many more generations, for example, African Americans or Caribbean. And just those conversations that allow us to delve deeper into our stories, and, you know, hopefully we want to, you know, pull in a couple guests and talk to them about their narratives and their stories, and just, you know, continue to discover the commonalities between us, but then also celebrate our differences. So those are a few of the topics that we have coming up in future episodes.
In future episodes, yeah. And I think it's worth noting, like, as we've said, like, almost like if it's not evident enough, like, we're very much coming from a place of just being enthusiasts as opposed to experts. So this is us also going on a journey to conduct research in building content. So, for instance, Omlayo had said something about education, for instance, and we recently were just kind of having a quick conversation about the fact that the schooling system in Ghana almost still to a large extent kind of mimics grammar schools that were established in colonial times. And obviously it's been over 60, 70, 80 years since those times. And as a country, you know, our economies have grown in different ways. And, you know, how has our educational system changed, for instance? And how can it evolve to be able to create a labor force, for instance, that can make us competitive from an economic standpoint? And so it's very much about taking a look at different topics that we're interested in. Like Omlayo has said, obviously, it's good to be current and kind of discuss a couple of things that are happening now. But I think mostly we also just want to take a look at some topics that perhaps might be a bit off the beaten path, and research a bit more, bring some new insights, and just, you know, talk about it. Because we want this to be the destination where you're going to get fresh, exciting content that you're not getting from anywhere else. And so that really is our vision for this podcast. It's about creating a platform that you as our listeners can just rely on for exciting, fresh content about the African continent. And I say that, but obviously it's over 54 countries and the diaspora, you know, that's a lot going on. And so that just attests to how dynamic the content will be. So we're excited.
Super. We hope you're excited to get on this journey with us. And so we're going to keep this one short since it's just the introductory podcast. But you can also expect, like, you know, future podcasts. We know you all are very busy people, you know, chasing those goals, building those empires. So we don't want to take up so much of your time. And so future episodes are going to be around 25 to 30 minutes, and we want to just make sure that you guys are always able to reach us, so definitely always leave us comments. You can find us on Facebook. We'll leave the links to everything in the in the podcast description.
Yeah. Agreed. So I think that's kind of it from us. Like we said, we wanted this to just be a segue to introducing ourselves, who we are, highlighting why we, you know, we're eager and we're excited and we're we're jumping and chopping at the bits to get this kind of podcast started, and also kind of highlighted a couple of the topics that we have in mind for upcoming episodes. And like Amalaya said, all the links to our social media and ways to contact us and keep in touch will be in the podcast page. So that is it from us. Any last words, Amalaya?
No, that's all. I'm super excited to just be on this journey. I'm excited that we just went ahead and started, because I think, you know, all of us might relate to this, but when you just like talk something to death, you're like, we should do this, we should do that, but eventually you just gotta start. So I'm excited
to start. Yeah, same here. So that is it from us, guys, and